It is really exciting, brethren, as we think about living this life today. It's exciting to think about what life will be like beyond today. You know, despite the obstacles of life in Satan's world that we live in, it gives me the hope and the energy to continue moving forward when I think about Jesus Christ returning to this earth and establishing the kingdom of God on the earth, and think about the time when Satan will be finally put away and all of mankind will have their opportunity to become a part of the family of God, to have happiness and to have peace at last, to have their hurts healed and to learn what true happiness is. We do have such wonderful things that we can look forward to, things that we can keep burning brightly in our minds as we live our lives today. However, we know that before these exciting times happen, that mankind is going to experience some of the most difficult, gut-wrenching times ever. And think about wars, famines, diseases, billions killed. You know, it's really difficult to even fathom that. Not only is it going to be the times that try men's souls, but those of us who are keeping the commandments of God, we're not going to be immune from all the effects of what's ahead either. There will almost certainly be difficult times ahead for all of us as God's chosen first fruits, whether we live into the time period of the Great Tribulation or not. So, as we look ahead, both at the trials to come and then at the exciting times to come afterwards, I want us to all ask ourselves, will I be able to make it to the end? Will I be able to handle what's ahead? Will I be able to endure? Will I be able to be there and make it and be a part of God's kingdom? And the answer is yes. Yes, we can make it. We can be there. But only if we allow God to mold us along the way. And there's a specific way that God uses to mold us that I want to talk about today, and that's in the area of patience. Patience. Are we developing patience now? Are there areas of your life that you can see that could use more patience? I know I definitely can see that in my life. I don't have to look very far to see my areas of impatience. Well, brethren, we must be developing the godly character trait of patience in our lives now so that we can be ready for the huge difficulties to come later on. Patience is vital for us to be developing now, otherwise we're not going to make it into God's kingdom. We have to learn to run with the footmen now so that we can contend with the horses later on. And so the title of my message today is Patiently Running with the Footmen. Patiently Running with the Footmen. So we'll start out talking a little bit about what patience is. Let's start in Galatians chapter 5. If you would turn over there, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 shows us that patience is a piece of the fruit of God's Spirit. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit is what shows the results of God's very mind and very character at work in us. So let's read Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read the first part of verse number 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," that is the actions that the Spirit produces in us, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," long-suffering, or patience. Now, there are two main Greek words that are translated as patience in the New Testament. And these two Greek words are mikrothomeo and hupomone. And I'm going to spell them out here in just a minute and give you their Strong's numbers in just a second. But I found it interesting as I went through this study of patience that these two Greek words represent two different aspects of patience that we need to be developing in our lives. So first of all, mikrothomeo, which is spelled M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U M-E-O-O, Necrothomeo. And that's from Strong's 3114 and 3115. And it means slow to anger, slow to punish or avenge, perseverance in bearing troubles and ills. So this word, Necrothomeo, it's most often translated as long-suffering in the King James and New King James. There's a handful of times when it's translated as patience as well. And it's the word that we just read, describing the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22, Necrothomeo. Now the other Greek word, hupomone, it's spelled H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, hupomone. And that's from Strong's 5278 and 5281. And it has a slightly different meaning. It means a steadfastness and waiting for something. Steadfastness and waiting for something. It's most often translated as patience and endurance in the King James and in the New King James. Hupomone. So we are to be Necrothomeo, long-suffering with how we choose to react to what life throws our way, how we respond to the way that we're treated. And hupomone is the waiting for something to come in the future, the waiting for the end of your trial, the waiting for the kingdom to come. You know, it won't be long now, the song we just sung made me think of that, waiting for the kingdom. And we'll see today from God's word that we need both of these aspects of patience to be developed in our lives now, so that when the difficult times come upon us, we can be ready for them and we can be able to endure them. Now, patience is definitely not an easy fruit to grow. In fact, it's one of the most difficult actions that I've had to incorporate into my life. And the reason why patience is so difficult is that really it involves more inaction than it does action. You know, think about that. Patience often involves us stepping back and waiting for something to happen. And that is something that is so difficult as humans for us to do. It means not allowing our own carnal thoughts, our own wishes and desires, our own timing to supersede what God has in mind for us. You know, patience is rare in our society today, and it's because it goes against our very human nature. And one reason is because from the moment of birth, we've had it ingrained in us to have our needs met. You know, if you think about it, when you're a baby, you know, when a baby cries, then immediately, you know, it has its diaper changed, it's fed, you know, its needs are taken care of right away. In a lot of ways, that impatient nature doesn't change much as we humans grow up. Most people still want their needs met quickly and often complain when they aren't. Let's look at an interesting verse in Daniel chapter 12. Turn back to Daniel 12. As we look at our modern culture, we see that most people in the world today are really seeking instant gratification. You know, people want instant coffee. They want TV shows and movies on demand. They want instant messaging. They want instant this and instant that. You know, I just wish that we could have an instant transporter, you know, like in Star Trek. Make it really easy to go from one place to another. Be very quick to get up here if we had that. But that's one of the things that I look forward to the most about being a spirit being. You know, the idea of being able to travel at the speed of thought, to be able to go anywhere you want to go. But Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 here talks about this a little bit and kind of describes the society we're in today. Daniel 12, verse 4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Our society does push impatience, always looking for faster and easier ways to do things. You know, you just think about it. You can think about many examples, you know, a few that come to mind. You think about the concept of the drive-thru, you know, at fast food places. We can just drive right up, order our food, have it be given to us, and just drive right away, very quickly. You know, think about as well, like when, you know, the concept of pumping gas. You know, you used to, you know, go up and you have to pump gas, and then you used to have to go inside and pay for it. Obviously now, we can just do it all right out there outside at the gas pumps. You think about as well the evolution of the supermarket checkout process. I still remember when I was a kid, the cash register person actually keying everything into the cash register, you know, 10 key by their fingers, right? A lot of you remember that as well. Well, eventually, then came the handheld scanners where they could just scan the items as they came by. Then we don't need the handheld scanners anymore. The scanners are set. We can just swipe the items, and the prices will ring right up. Of course, then we have the turn-style bags right there, you know, so you can just very quickly just bag your items and turn and bag in the next bag. Of course, now, you know, we don't even need cash registers anymore. We don't need people to do that. You know, there's the self-checkouts. We can just walk right up there and just do it all ourselves. And then, you know, we don't even have to pay cash anymore. You know, we can just get the credit card out and just put it right through the machine. Or even, I've read recently, where you don't even need to get your credit card out anymore. You know, you can just kind of, you know, tap your purse, tap your wallet or something like that, and then, you know, the payment would go right through. I mean, we're trying to find quicker and quicker and faster and easier ways to do these things. And that's the way mankind is. And it's not all bad. It's not all bad to try to find faster and easier ways to do things. But running to and fro can ingrain a mindset in us that can spill into other areas of our lives. You know, we want our problems fixed fast and quickly and easily. We expect our trials and our difficulties to end quickly. We want to be healed and to feel better right now. We want our relationships mended now. You know, oftentimes, that's not how it works. And when it doesn't, if we're not careful, then our impatience can show through. One definition of patience that I came across that really struck me. Patience means to have the ability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or complaining. Again, patience means to have the ability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or complaining. Is that the way we are? You know, when we get angry or we complain or we have trouble accepting something, then we are showing impatience. And that's not the fruit of God's Spirit coming from us. Now, truly patient people become hard to provoke. It's hard to get them ired. It's hard to get them angry and upset. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, I'll just quote that. Proverbs 14, verse 29 says, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." You know, it can be difficult to be patient with other people, especially those who are close to us. Sometimes it seems the closer someone is to us, the more easily we become impatient with them, when really it should be the opposite. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 shows that we must develop makrothumeo with all sorts of people. So let's see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll read verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Be patient with all. Now, patience oftentimes is a test for us, right? It tests us. Patience sometimes requires us to slow down, you know, take a step back and sit still and just not do anything. Which, again, is really hard for us as humans to do because we're stir-to-action type people. We want to get things done now. It's not in our human nature to have to wait. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, we see a scripture here. We see how we're to react when God deals with us. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Read verses 5 through 7. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." In verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now, patience is that calm endurance based on the certainty that God is in control. And whenever you come up against something and it's pushing your buttons and you start to feel your patience start to wane a bit, are we able to, at that point, step back and think and focus on the fact that let's let God handle this? God knows about it. He knows what's going on. And he has our best interests at heart. It is challenging. It is difficult. And sometimes we can be trying to control a situation ourselves. We can find ourselves trying to do that. It's a battle that I personally fight myself, trying to figure out how much should I step forward and try to do something about a situation, and how much should I step back and let God handle it. Especially when we're in a position where we might have a measure of influence. Yeah, how much should I push? How far should I fight this battle? The levels of how much we can and we should do, they vary depending upon the specific circumstances. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer to that question. Sometimes there's not a lot we can do to control a situation. Sometimes we can't control anything about our circumstances except ourselves. We can always control ourselves and how we choose to react. And it's much easier to have that control when we're already practicing a patient spirit, having trained ourselves to not be quick to react. Because God wants us to always be in control of ourselves and to let him take ultimate control of a situation. Because who knows if the situation may be chastening from the Lord, which, as we just read, is something that we're not to despise. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 13 shows that patience and love for others go hand in hand. Let's look first at Ephesians chapter 4. Patience and love do go hand in hand. They are interconnected. Let's see here in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse number 1. This is Paul writing here. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now turn also to 1 Corinthians 13. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of unity. And as first fruits, who hopefully you and I have the Spirit of God, we need to be patient with one another, bearing with one another sometimes, but doing it in love, not being quick to act, and working towards unity with each other, not division. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4, simply says here, the first phrase says, "Love suffers long." Mikrothomeo. To love one another is to have patience. To bear with one another in love when somebody gets on your nerves. How much patience do we have? If we live without intentionally growing the fruit of patience, then we can be prone to sudden outbursts. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just suddenly reacted to something? It often comes upon us when we're least expecting it. When we're there in the supermarket, when we're driving on the road. It could be with our spouse, with our children. It would behoove us as much as is possible to try to slow down, as difficult as it is. Slow down life when we can. Try not to be constantly running to and fro. And then, hopefully, we can not be so reactive to what happens to us. And James chapter 1 talks about the need for slowing down in certain areas of our life. Let's look at James 1. Again, we're talking right now about the importance of patience and how we react to whatever situation we find ourselves in. But James chapter 1, we'll read verses 19 and 20. James 1 verse 19, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak, slow to wrath." And we do have two ears and one mouth for a reason. They need to be used proportionally. Verse 20. "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Patience is something that helps to keep us in check. It can keep us from responding in ways that are not pleasing to God and to our fellow man. So there are things today, there's lots of things out there today that can try and test our patience. And there are things that we just have to walk through, things we have to endure, and try to do so patiently. Now, what about when other people treat us badly? Do we take matters into our own hands? Do we look for ways to get even? Or do we step back, be long-suffering, be willing to take abuse sometimes, and not return evil for evil? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter 2 is a scripture that shows that patience has a direct connection to our calling. Let's see that here in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse number 20. 1 Peter 2, verse 20, it says, "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently?" You probably knew, you already knew you had done something wrong and that you deserved the consequences of that action anyway. So, yeah, I'll just take it patiently. We don't get credit for doing that, though. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Now, that's hard. It's hard to suffer when we know we don't deserve it. But that's what we were called to do. And you and I should expect that. We should expect that in our lives. And it should not be a surprise to us when it happens. As it says in verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Christ obviously suffered far more than any of us. And he set that example for us of a suffering servant. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says that we're to be patient in tribulation. And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says that we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And so we are to glory and be patient in our tribulations. And we can at least be comforted in knowing that, God in his own time and in his own place will graciously cause all of us, everyone, to reap what we sow. And it may not be right away, maybe years down the road, may not even be until the kingdom comes back, as hard as that can be to think about. It's often said that there's often a gap between the sowing and the reaping. And this requires patience. However long we're treated badly, however difficult life gets, it is our Christian responsibility to be willing to patiently suffer for righteousness' sake. And 1 Peter 3 goes even beyond that, saying that in the midst of suffering for righteousness' sake, we're to actually become a blessing for others. We'll see that in 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, and be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, being a blessing to the one who hurts you, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." And then Peter goes on from here to tell us to look at life positively. In verse 10, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." You know, God knows. God knows those who are patiently suffering, and he knows those who are being evil. He knows. And we need to leave that in his hands, and we need to go on with our lives, not looking back with malice at those who have hurt us. You know, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." Then going on, 1 Peter 3:13, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." You know, and if I'm going to suffer, I would much rather suffer because I've done something good than for it to be something that I deserve. Now, let's go back to James 1. You know, there are some days where it is so difficult to keep on going. But we must. We must grow the fruit of patience by how we handle problems and troubles in our lives. And God is watching us because God wants to know where we stand. He wants to know that in the kingdom, you won't go off in rebellion like Satan did. See that here in James chapter 1, verse 12. Where it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved," you know, when he has passed all the tests and he's there and he's gained entrance to the kingdom, when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You know, as the months and the years go by, it's going to be harder and harder for us to live God's way of life, and easier to make compromises with it. We need to develop patience now. We need to learn to take abuse now, if necessary, because it will almost certainly come later on. So again, I ask, how patient are you and I in dealing with difficult situations? So that's one main aspect of becoming patient. It's reacting to other people in a godly way. Another main characteristic of patience is how we manage our expectations, how we manage having to wait for something that may or may not come. The Old Testament often describes patience as waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord can be so hard. So very hard, especially for those with serious health trials who are just in pain day by day, and those who are having to watch people who are going through health trials as well. And when we ask God for his healing, When we ask God for His will to be done, He always answers us, always gives us an answer. And the answer can come in one of three ways: yes, no, or wait. In a lot of ways, the wait answer can be the hardest answer, because we don't know how long we'll have to wait. We don't know what the outcome will necessarily be, at least at that time. But what's even worse is to look back on a situation after it was over and wish we had waited. When we're being patient, then we are allowing God an opportunity for His will to be done and not our own. You know, the expression goes, things worth having are worth waiting for. Sure, we can all think of things that are worth waiting for. I know I can. And if it's God's will for us to someday have it, then it will be worth waiting for. You know, David especially seemed to learn that trait well, because he had to wait a lot in his life. How do you think David might have learned the fruit of patience? Well, he had to spend a great deal of his life waiting. You know, think about when he was a young lad and tending sheep. You know, he was out there, he was watching the sheep, and the sheep were most of the time grazing. And most of the time, I think, when he was there, there wasn't a whole lot that he had to do. He just basically had to make sure the sheep were not getting into trouble and that they were, you know, grazing and in their places. And so during those times, when he was a young lad, David had a lot of downtime. I bet he used a lot of that downtime to write, to learn to play the harp, and to meditate and to think about God. You think about later on, those slow times came in handy, because, you know, think about when after he was anointed as a king. He was anointed king when he was a young teenager. David had to wait approximately 15 years before he became king of just Judah. Then he had to wait another 7 years beyond that before he became king over all of Israel. And then, to top it all off, during those times where of waiting, when he was out there in the wilderness, he was wandering, he was going from place to place, and he was having to really endure and be patient. During those times, he actually had opportunities come his way where he could have ended his wait, and he could have assumed the kingship. He could have taken matters into his own hands, he could have killed Saul, and assumed the kingship that he knew was rightly his. But he didn't do that. He didn't try to come up with his own solution. He did not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. He did not undermine the one whom God had put in charge, but he resolved instead that he was going to step back and just wait and be patient and let God handle things. And he didn't know when the waiting would be over. He didn't know how long he was going to have to wait. He didn't know how long he was going to have to wander in the wilderness. David knew what patiently waiting on God was all about, and he wrote quite a bit about it. You know, Psalm 27 is just one of the many scriptures, many, many scriptures that addresses the principle of waiting on the Lord, waiting on God for Him to handle things however He deems best. Well, let's look at Psalm 27 and verse number 14. Final verse here of Psalm 27. Verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So twice here we're told to wait, to have patience. But we want resolution now. We want our trials to end now. We want things to be corrected, injustices to be corrected now. We don't want to have to wait. Well, it will happen. It'll happen eventually. We just don't know what God's timing is, but we do know that God's timing is perfect. I would much rather put my trust and my knowledge that God knows what He's doing and that His timing is perfect than to try to take action of myself. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40 shows not that we're to not only wait on the Lord, but because of the strength that comes from God, the strength that comes from our waiting, from our patience, it will enable us to do far more, to handle far more than we otherwise could. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, patient people will have their strength and their endurance renewed. They shall mount up, as it says. They shall move forward. You know, when we don't feel like getting up and facing the day, it's by the strength of God that we make ourselves do it, put one foot in front of the other. Because there is so much beyond today to look forward to. And within eagle's wings comes strength, protection, deliverance. Not being weary, the verse says, not growing tired or giving up. They shall run, they shall walk. You know, it means continually moving forward in life, step by step towards the promised land, never stopping, never giving up, not being distracted by what may be going on around us. You know, God will take care of us, but he doesn't always fix things right away. Let's turn back a few pages to Isaiah 30. Yeah, why does God wait sometimes and let our trials go on and on? Well, Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, therefore the Lord will wait. Why? That he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. You know, God is there. He's watching, and he knows the patience that you have for him. He hears your prayers. He knows when you're waiting on him, and you will be blessed because of it. You allow God to be gracious to you. You give him that opportunity to be gracious to you when you wait on him, even if it's a long wait. Yeah, how long must I endure this health trial? How long must I endure and go through this difficult situation with my coworkers? How long must I live alone? How long must I wait for the kingdom to come back? How long? We can ask ourselves that over and over and over. And it's so hard not knowing how long we may have to wait. And that's the time, during those times, we must make the very difficult choice to continue to look to God, to look for God's will, and to develop that spiritual fruit of patience in our lives. Now let's look at Hebrews 12 once again. You know, this life that we live is a part of a race that we are to be running with patience. Let's see that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, hupomone, run with endurance the race that is set before us. Ours is not a sprint, but it's a race of endurance, patiently looking forward to living in God's perfect world. Let's look at Romans 15. When we feel like start feeling like we want to give up or even taking matters into our own hands, that's when we need to step back, be patient, and hold on tight, as hard as it is. That's when the hope shown through God's word comes through. And we need to take time, always take time every day, to stop and to read God's word. Read it over and over again. Read it slowly. Read it multiple times, however many times it takes. Get the message out of it that God wants us to have. Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." The Scriptures give us hope. Looking forward to the kingdom of God on this earth gives us hope. It gives us something to continue living for. It gives us something to help us make it through the day. As the pressure of this physical life pushes against us and things are happening all around us, just remember that things will likely only get more difficult as the years go by. We could be tempted at any time to just give up, stop being patient, tempted to go ahead and do things without considering the consequences of God and God's will. In Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse number 5, Jeremiah 12 and verse 5 shows the principle that we must be getting ready for what's to come. Let's see that here in Jeremiah 12 and verse number 5. Read the first part here to start out with. Jeremiah 12 verse 5, it says, "If you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with horses?" If the struggles you face now in this life are just too much, then what are you going to do when the horses arrive? When things really get tough? As hard as our trials are sometimes to bear, we must be careful, though, that we don't make them out to be bigger than life, when in reality, we may simply be running with the footmen. Maybe we ain't seen nothing yet. There's always someone going through a more difficult situation than what you are. Yes, our trials are difficult, and we can and often do become wearied from time to time. But we must always shake the dust off our feet. We must always get up. We must continue on, continue forward, because the horses are on the horizon. Now, there are a few, I realize, that have already contended with horses. Some are going through or have gone through perhaps the most difficult trial that they'll ever experience in their lives. And by still being here, if that's you, by still being here, then you are a wonderful example for the rest of us. But I would venture to say that most of us will still be going through much tougher trials in our future than what we've already gone through. And we must learn to be patiently enduring now the trials and our circumstances during these times of relative peace so that we can be ready for what's to come. Now, this can be hard sometimes for us to hear. Knowing that there's going to be difficult times ahead can be especially hard for our young people to hear. It can seem like gloom and doom to them. But that's when we as parents and we as adults and the influence we have over our young people, we need to be working with them and constantly be encouraging them and reminding them of how wonderful a future we have ahead. What we're going to be doing for all eternity. Eye has not seen, ears not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for those who love him. We have such a wonderful future in store for us, a future that we can't even imagine. And that makes the sufferings that we have to go through in this life bearable. And I'll just quote Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Things worth having. God's kingdom is definitely worth having. and it will be worth waiting for. Now back to Jeremiah 12. The rest of verse 5 repeats the same lesson as the first part. It says, "And if in the land of peace in which you've trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan?" It was a good friend of mine once said, "In good times, you can rejoice. In hard times, take a lesson. Build your patience and get ready for whatever God has called us to. There will be great tribulations ahead before the time of lasting peace will come upon us." Now, Luke chapter 21 talks about the need for hupomone, the need to be willing to go through whatever difficult situations there may be ahead. Luke chapter 21, here's what Jesus had to say about endurance in difficult times. Luke 21, we'll begin in verse 10 here. Luke 21, verse 10, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven.'" Now these things may be years ahead of us, or even beyond our lifetime, we don't know. But the next, then going on, the next several verses actually get more specific about some of the things that are ahead. I'm just going to skip over some of that, but let's drop down to verse number 18, where it says, "But not a hair of your head shall be lost." That's, of course, figuratively speaking, for when we make it and we're there and we're spirit beings in the kingdom. And verse 19, "By your patience possess your souls." So Christ is saying here that our level of patience will largely determine our destiny for all eternity. There's a lot riding on us being patient, being willing to endure the sufferings and the things that we're going through now and the things to come. By your patience to be, your ability to be patient now with yourself, patient with your children, patient with your spouse, patient with whatever life throws our way, patient with the promises of God. By our ability to be patient in those things, then we hold our destiny in our hands. "He who endures to the end shall be saved," as it says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, which is actually a parallel passage here to Luke 21. And it's the same word, hupomone, used in Luke 21:19, as in Matthew 24, verse 13. "By your hupomone, possess your souls, and he who hupomones to the end shall be saved." Now let's turn to Hebrews 6 and see this time, we'll see this time where mikrathomeo is what is needed for us to be saved. Let's see that in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, and we'll begin here in verse 9. Hebrews 6, verse 9, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown towards his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." Enduring to the end, being patient, as it says here in verse 12, "that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And Abraham is one of those that we're to imitate, as it says here in verse 15. "And so after he," Abraham, "had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Which promise? Well, the promise of salvation. Again, this time the Greek word for patience here is nekrothumeo. And so we must have both kinds of patience in order to make it, in order to be in God's kingdom and achieve salvation. Patience and salvation go hand in hand. We must be able to patiently make our way through our circumstances, imitating those positive examples of faith and patience around us. You know, those examples that we read about in the Bible, and those examples of people that we know around us as well. We do this with the full assurance of hope for the return of Jesus Christ and our salvation. Patience is at the very heart of God's nature. It really is. Now, let's look at Numbers chapter 14. And we could turn to a number of scriptures that describes God and his patient nature. Well, we'll just look here at Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 and verse number 18, where it says here, Numbers 14, verse 18, "The Lord is long-suffering, patient, and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation." You'll think about how patient God is. Think about, you know, since the sin of Adam and Eve, you know, God has had to witness progressively first a few, then hundreds, thousands, millions, and billions of sins every single day on this earth. And God's patient, isn't he, through all that? Does he give mankind what we deserve each and every single time we sin? Not yet. Not at this time, anyway, but there are times, though, where God's patience does wear thin. If you think about, again, the nature of God, the very nature of God being patient, think about Jesus Christ and how he had to wait 30 years to be able to begin his public ministry. And think about working all those years as a carpenter, you know, patiently just biding his time, not being able to publicly, you know, preach and teach. I'm sure that required patience on his part. You know, God is very patient and long-suffering. He doesn't tell us to do something that he's not willing to do himself. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3 is a chapter talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. And it talks about the patience of God, and how God expects his saints to practice that same long-suffering. So let's see 2 Peter 3. We're going to kind of read bits and pieces of this chapter here. 2 Peter 3, we'll begin in verse 3 here, in the middle of the verse. 2 Peter 3, verse 3, it says, "Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" You know, people are going to be poking fun at those who are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. You know, nothing has changed, they're going to say. Everything's the same every day. It'll be the same tomorrow as it is today. Yeah, I think a profitable study would be, you know, to study and read about what God's view of time is. Because God looks at people and he looks at the events much different than what we do. He looks at things and at people as though it's already happened, as though it's a sure thing. You know, we see that, you know, in different places as we read. Verse number 8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, but that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." I personally don't believe this is a literal statement as much as it's more of a generalization on how God views time. Again, that's my opinion. Verse 9, it says, "The Lord's not slack concerning his promise." Which promise? Well, we just read in verse 4, the promise of his coming. You know, Jesus Christ will return to this earth. He's not slack concerning that promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, God is patient towards us, He patiently working with human beings in such a way as to hopefully be able to maximize the number of people that will be in His kingdom one day, though we know that not everyone will be there. You know, God is long-suffering towards humans, oftentimes waiting for us, stepping back, and waiting to see what we'll do. In the same way, we need to be steadfast, and we need to be patiently waiting for God. In verse number 11, it says, "What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God?" In verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless." And so this is how we're to be living our lives. Be patient, be long-suffering, be looking forward to the kingdom. Verse 15, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." Verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You know, as we live this life, and we earnestly look forward to the fulfillment of what the fall holy days picture, we are to be living patient lives. Be putting first things first. Being a blessing to other people. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We'll break into the thought here. Romans 2, beginning in verse 6, says, "Who, God, will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." So again, our patience today, how we live our lives today, is tied in to the future, to our salvation, to our reward. Living life day by day, slow and steady, never quitting on being patient and doing good for others. And James 5 also addresses our patiently waiting for the kingdom. You know, for most of us, I'd say it's hard. It's probably hard for us to have to be waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. I'm sure each of us prays, "Thy kingdom come," every day, maybe even multiple times a day. You know, it's our greatest wish that Jesus Christ would come back and would return to this earth. But James chapter 5 and verses 7 through 8 shows us that we must be patiently waiting for Jesus Christ's return, just like we have to be patient in waiting for fruit to grow. In James chapter 5, verse 7, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." The coming of the Lord is at hand. Here, a brief glimpse of how God views time. He sees that the kingdom is at hand. Of course, this was written almost 2,000 years ago. You know, in the great scheme of eternity, human life is really but just a very, very brief, I can't get that small, infinitesimal point in time. You know, once we become spirit beings and we live on into eternity, I think that we as humans, or as spirit beings, will have the ability to look back on our human life and remember it. I don't think that will be but that will be something we'll lose. However, as the time goes by, the hundreds and thousands of years go by, millennia go by, and the amount of time that we lived as humans fractionally becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, it will probably seem like a very brief blip of time when we look back on our life as human beings. I do know that our physical lives, even living our lives as human beings, oftentimes we think life goes by fast, you know, that life is fleeting. And I think the older you are, the more you probably realize that and think that way. So we must be patiently waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And in reality, it is at hand. Even in our lives, as we think sometimes it could be so long and so far away, you know, it is at hand. It really won't be long now. We just have to hang on for a little while longer. Now, if you'd like, you can hold your place here in James. Let's turn back to the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. Lamentations, book we don't go to all that often. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. You know, when you're going through a trial or a circumstance, to varying degrees, you can hear these comforting words and believe them. But in reality, you know, as we wake up each day, each morning, in reality, our lives as humans, you know, the moments do affect us. And it is sometimes hard in especially difficult moments to keep the vision of the kingdom of God burning brightly in our minds every single second. All I can say to that is we need to hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't give in. Continue battling. Continue fighting. Continue moving forward. You know, try as much as we can to keep the important things in focus in our lives. And develop patience. And I'm talking to myself especially here. But Lamentations 3 and verse 25 gives us a little reward here. It says, in Lamentations 3, verse 25, it says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Now let's determine to stay in God's place. Move quietly at his pace, according to his perfect timing, and not ours, no matter how long it takes. Let's conclude back in James, in chapter 1. Hey, brethren, you and I have a destiny, and it will be better than anything we can possibly imagine. Are we patiently waiting for our ultimate destiny to be fulfilled? Are we patiently waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives? Well, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces suffering and heartache." Is that what it says? No, the testing of your faith produces patience. And then, what is patience supposed to produce in us? Verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, teleos, and complete, lacking nothing." Now, that's where patience is supposed to bring us to teleos, to spiritual maturity. So, brethren, God is working with each of us now. God chastens us, he's pruning us, he's sharpening us, he's testing our faith, and he's using the fruit of patience to work a perfect work in each of us right now. And God gives us glimpses of a magnificent future which is in store for us. And by doing this, he is building our patience. He is strengthening us. He is readying us for the tribulations to come. Brethren, as we patiently run with the footmen of this life, We must allow the fruit of patience to be growing in us, so that when the horses come, we will be ready.